What's my subscription to the New York Times have me doing this week? Preparing a strawberry pretzel pie. Solving spelling bee with no hints. Planning a trip to one of the 52 best places to go. Getting to the bottom of the big pants trend.
Whoa.
And I'm finally replacing my vacuum with a recommendation I can trust. What will your subscription to the Times have you do? Why not find out? With our best offer, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
This is Sabrina Tavernisi. It's 9:15 and we just got to the railway station and there's a huge crowd of people standing outside. Oh my God. Hundreds of people standing outside the railway station. So a young man in a black coat carrying a cat carrier with a cat in it. Elderly woman carrying a large red bag. Struggling down the stairs. Вас как зовут?
Татьяна.
Татьяна, мне Сабрина.
Приятно.
Приятно. Как вы сегодня себя чувствуете? Ну, конечно. It's 9:30 in the morning in central Kyiv. I'm at the bus station and it's absolutely packed. Long lines of people trying to pack onto buses. Just overheard a young man saying, there are no tickets, there are no tickets, I don't know what to do. Walking up to a large white bus, two large white buses. People are arguing over who gets to get on. The driver's saying, let's do it without chaos, let's do it without chaos. Calm down, calm down. People are scrambling to leave and are in shock. Hi guys, I'm a journalist from the New York Times. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, of course.
Are you trying to leave Kyiv?
What
are you
Yes, doing? We are trying to reach Lviv and then Poland.
And then Poland?
Yes.
How are you feeling right now?
Maybe a little bit. Afraid of Russian borders.
Yes.
It was too much unexpected to hear the explosions near the houses. So
yes,
yes,
yeah.
We are afraid.
Yeah. What time did you guys wake up this morning to hear it?
We didn't sleep.
Yeah.
All night, we didn't sleep.
Do you guys have a plan for Poland? Do you have a plan for the other side?
We expect to buy tickets to Turkey, to Antalya, and live here there in Vilna. So wait for the end of war and then come back.
Just wait it out?
Yes. I want to stay here, but my friends want to leave, so I think that it's correct to go together.
Thanks for talking to me, guys.
Yes.
Good luck.
Thank you.
А как вас зовут?
Дмитрий.
Дмитрий, меня Сабрина. Я корреспондент газеты New York Times. Делаю репортаж. Приятно.
Меня тоже.
This is Dmitry. He's looking at a bus going to Lvov that is absolutely packed. His bus was supposed to leave at 9. И скажите еще раз название города.
Это, ну, мы брали до Стрия.
I called my friends all around Ukraine yesterday and everybody was intending on fighting.
Я тоже проведу своих, а сам военкомат иду.
I myself am taking my family to the village outside Lvov and am coming back and signing up immediately for military service.
Спасибо.
Спасибо. I think if there's one sound of Kyiv this morning so far, just after 10 o'clock in the morning, it's the sound of wheelie bags being dragged over cobblestones and pavement.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is A Daily. As Russia's full-scale assault on Ukraine enters its second day, the people of Ukraine are starting to come to terms with the reality that the unthinkable has actually happened. Today, my colleague, Anton Troyanovsky, explains the significance of this moment, and Sabrina Tavernisi, Lindsay Garrison, and Michael Schwartz speak to Ukrainians about the agonizing decisions that they now must make. It's Friday, February 25th. Anton, we are talking to you on Thursday night in Moscow. We are coming to the end of day one of this invasion. Help us wrap our heads around what's happening and the significance of what we're all witnessing. Because even if we've been hearing warnings about this for weeks, it's hard to believe that we're now experiencing a full-scale attack on Ukraine by Russia.
Yeah, it is really hard to believe. It's the biggest attack of one nation on another nation in Europe since World War II. It is really kind of the worst case scenario of all those scenarios of a potential Russian invasion of Ukraine that have been discussed. Mm-hmm. It's something that, I've spent just about every day writing about this crisis for the last 2 months or so. And honestly, even until yesterday, I didn't think that this could actually happen. You know, it's Europe's most powerful military, bearing basically its entire firepower, much of its firepower, against a neighboring country. So since about 5 a.m., we have seen cruise missile, ballistic missile strikes against infrastructure targets, military targets in Ukraine. Then during the day-to-day, we started seeing footage coming in of helicopter assaults, of paratroopers landing, of tanks rolling across the border. And this is happening from three sides, from the north, Belarus, from the east, Russia, from the south, from the Black Sea and Crimea. Mm-hmm. It started 18 hours ago or so, and it's still very hard to just wrap our heads around the magnitude of what's happening.
And what do we understand to be the end goal here at this point?
Well, Putin laid it out quite clearly in his early morning speech. He said, our goal is to demilitarize and denazify, in his words, Ukraine.
And just explain that, because
yeah,
denazification is not a familiar phrase in 2022.
Exactly. And I mean, I would say until recently, it hasn't been a familiar phrase in Russia either. But the Kremlin and in their propaganda, they consider the democratically elected government of Ukraine a Nazi regime. They claim falsely that it has perpetrated a genocide on Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine. And so Putin is trying to claim the moral high ground here. He is saying he's going in to remove this evil regime. And what that means is this is a full-scale military assault to topple the government, most likely, of another country. This is just a massive undertaking that we're only seeing the beginnings of.
So we're talking about a sovereign nation in Europe being attacked by another European nation and its democratically elected leadership being, by what you just described, deposed. And these are developments that are unheard of in modern Europe. So how should we think about that?
Yeah, I think it's really the end of a certain post-Cold War order in Europe. It's, you know, the end of 30 years of Russia trying to find a place in that kind of Western-led order.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of 20 years of Putin trying to, you know, use diplomacy as well as his kind of hybrid warfare tactics to try to further his interests in Europe. That's all gone now. We're in a new reality now where Russia is showing it is prepared to fight a large land war in Europe to achieve what it describes to be its aims. It's just a totally different world that we're in now.
Well, so let's talk about the consequences of that for all involved.
Yeah, I mean, I would break it up into a few different parts. You know, the consequences for Ukraine, for Russia, for Europe and the U.S. and the rest of the world. So starting with Ukraine, this is just the beginning, I fear. If this continues the way we think it's going to Putin pursuing regime change, it could get much more bloody. Mm-hmm. So we don't know yet what happens to the cities. There is a fight for territory going on in eastern Ukraine where those separatist regions are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the big question is, will they go into Kyiv?
Right.
Very scarily, it looks like they may well.
Okay. So what about Russia, where you are based? What are the consequences you are seeing and expecting there?
Well, so people are expecting a new crackdown on civil liberties, on freedom of speech, freedom of the press, even on business. The reason being that whenever we've had crackdowns here in Russia, the justification has always been that the Kremlin is hunting down internal enemies who are serving some kind of foreign agenda to destabilize the country. So that's certainly one thing to watch over the coming days and weeks, is how much of an additional crackdown is there. Tonight, we had pretty significant anti-war protests in Moscow and St. Petersburg and in a number of cities in Siberia, all told several thousand people were in the streets, and there were more than 1,500 arrests. So
wow.
One thing that's very important to point out is there has been next to no outpouring of support for this.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of anger, disbelief, fear. To see your country inflicting so much suffering on a neighboring country is awful. And this narrative for why it was necessary to do it, it really does fall apart quite quickly upon inspection. You know, how does Ukraine actually threaten Russia? Can it really be true that the Ukrainians were planning an invasion of these pro-Russian separatist areas in the east just as 150,000 plus troops were surrounding Ukraine on three sides? There's just so much in the Kremlin propaganda narrative that doesn't hold up that I think a lot of people aren't buying that story.
Okay, finally, let's talk about the consequences for the United States and for the rest of the world.
So President Biden and the EU announced major sanctions today against Russia, and Russia has promised to respond, potentially asymmetrically. So we might not see sanctions by Russia against the U.S., but we might see Russia take other actions that could cause harm and pain in the U.S. And there, like, we can really only speculate what that would be. Some folks are talking about the potential for cyber attacks. Here in Moscow, there's been a lot of talk that Russia could base missiles or other military assets in Latin America to more directly threaten the United States. Russia obviously is one of the world's biggest energy suppliers, especially to Europe. If it were to turn that spigot, that could cause incredible problems for Europeans. So there is so much uncertainty here still, not just in Ukraine, not just in Russia, but really about how this crisis plays out and what it means for the rest of the world.
And Anton, as you're preparing to sign off for the night. I want to return to Ukraine and where this situation leaves its people at this moment.
I mean, it's a horrible situation. These are people who, I think there was so little expectation that Russia could actually go ahead with this kind of invasion. And now they are making choices they never thought they would have to make. Do they stay in Kyiv? Do they try to flee west? Do they try to get out of the country? Do you sleep in the basement? It's really an unimaginable situation for millions and millions of people right now.
Anton, thank you. We'll talk again soon. Stay safe.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
My name is Jasmine Ulloa, and I'm a national politics reporter for The New York Times. I grew up in Texas, on the border with Mexico, and I've been reporting in the region since I was in high school. Now I travel the country looking for stories and voices that really capture what immigration and the nation's demographic changes mean for people. What I keep encountering is that voters don't fall into neat ideological boxes on this very volatile issue. There's a lot of gray. And that's where I feel the most interesting stories are. I'm trying to bring that complexity and nuance to our audience, especially in such a critical election year. And that's really what all of my colleagues on the politics team and every journalist at the New York Times is aiming to do. Our mission is to help you understand the world, no matter how complicated it might be. If you want to support this mission, consider subscribing to the New York Times. You can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
All day yesterday, my colleagues in Ukraine and back in the U.S. were speaking with Ukrainians around the country about their experiences of the past 24 hours.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Lindsay. not good.
Not good.
10%.
Lindsay Garrison got on the phone with Denis Sorkov, who lives in a city called Dnipro in eastern Ukraine.
I am doctor, chief of Dnipro Regional Children's Hospital.
You're a doctor at Dnipro Regional Children's Hospital.
Yep. Okay, wow. And I am chief of NICU, N-I-C-U.
Chief of NICU.
Exactly.
Got it. Can you just tell me a little bit about what the past 24 hours have been like for you?
So, in the morning, we wake up, and we have heard first rocket explosions near Dnipro airport. So, I was in my hospital. Mm-hmm. We were nervous, we were confused. Mm-hmm. Everybody was near laptops or iPhones and checked the news, and the news were and are dramatic.
Dramatic. How were you understanding this? Did you think that this would happen?
Honestly, no. Mm-hmm. We were expected for the beginning or the attack, but we didn't know that it could be so fast, so right now. So now the borders between Ukrainian regions are closed. We had some possibilities and some efforts to go last week.
Okay.
I can't explain, but something stopped us. We hoped that finally everything will resolve, but now, honestly, I don't know exactly what to do.
What do you think stopped you?
My family didn't want to leave Ukraine. Because we love Ukraine and we wanted to live here happy and in the peace and so on. So, so I said, okay, maybe everything will be not so bad. Let's wait. So my main question for myself is if I made the very, very big mistake not to move from Ukraine when I have an opportunity to do this.
That's a heavy question.
Yes. If there was a big mistake or not so big, and I have no answer. I can ask you, do you want to wake up in the morning and understand you should go forever? Not for one day, not for 2 days, forever. Can you make such a decision in, I don't know, in 10 minutes? My question to you.
Yeah.
To bring just a bit of water, just a bit of food, single clothes, documents, money, and go outside your home forever. Can you make such a decision? Just imagine.
Yeah.
So, this was my family feeling last week. Even yesterday in the evening, I told to my wife that this is the last calm day we can evacuate. In the morning, we realized that war came to Ukraine. Not conflict, not disturbs, war. Conventional war.
What are your children asking you? Like, how are you talking about this with them?
I say to my children, everything will be okay. Your father will care about you.
How old are they?
My elder daughter is 30 and she lives abroad. And my younger daughter, she is 14. She is with me.
How is she doing?
She believe me.
That you'll protect her?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that make you feel that she believes you?
I will do all I can to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what, but I will do everything. Everything I can.
Are you worried it won't be enough?
I'm worried. Everything could be changed. I don't know. Next few hours, or even next few maybe minutes.
Thank you.
3 o'clock and getting out of the gas station. So I'm looking at this line. I'd say it's maybe 30, 40 cars long. Everybody's limited now. You can only get 20 liters of gas. Walking up to an ambulance that's waiting in line for gas. The ambulance is being ushered ahead. The man who's managing here says he's too busy. He's running, trying to usher the ambulance to the front of the line. I'm going to talk to another person.
Меня зовут Сабрина, я журналист из газеты New York Times. Вы можете общаться?
Да.
Вас как зовут?
Валерий.
This is Валерий. Валерий, вы собираетесь уехать из Киева?
Нет. Я в Броварах живу, вот слушаю, там бомбят нас, я там живу.
I'm hearing on the radio now that they're bombing us. I live in this area that they're bombing.
Не верится, никто в это не верил, никто не думал, что так с нами поступят. Соседние страны, которые называли нас братьями, вот так поступили с нами.
No one believed that they would act toward us this way. We're brothers. We're neighboring countries, we're brothers. No one believed it.
В принципе, нормально, но чувствуется тревога.
I have this feeling of nervousness, of anxiousness.
Созваниваюсь со своими родными, мамами.
Calling with my
да,
loved ones,
они
my
интересуются
mother.
Нашими. У нее все нормально, она пожилой человек, плохо слышит и плохо видит, и поэтому она не понимает, что происходит.
He said she's an elderly person, she doesn't see very well and she does not hear very well, so it's very difficult for her, she's not understanding what's happening.
Куда потом?
Пока остаемся на месте. Будем стараться бензин заправиться, полный бак, может быть, к маме придется ехать.
So far I'm gonna hunker down in place, but I'm getting as much gas as I can because I might need to make it to my mom's.
Купили продукты, собрали телефоны, паспорта, документы.
All my phones, passports, documents.
Yes.
I brought
молоко,
vermicelli, bread,
milk,
and dill and sour cream. I'm gonna talk to another person.
А вас как зовут?
Юра.
Юра. Очень приятно, Юра.
I'm talking to Юра, who's getting some gas, says he does not plan to leave.
Немножко потрясен.
I'm a little shocked.
Ну, что Россия напала на Украину, и это очень плохо.
That Russia attacked Ukraine,
да,
it's so bad.
Мы будем боронить свою державу.
We're going to defend our country to the last drop of blood.
Собираюсь записываться в тероборону. Завтра будем записываться в территориальную оборону. Будем защищать свою страну.
Tomorrow I'm gonna sign up for a territorial defense force and I'm gonna defend my country. It's 3:30 and we're driving in central Kyiv and this is just a closed town right now. The day is still very gray. The sky is very low. It feels sort of raw and cold and wet. The air has a kind of bitter smell of ordnance. It's the smell of the air after an airstrike. Someone carrying a gun and some body armor down the street. A very sweet little bakery. I'm gonna come in.
Ah. Я журналист из газеты New York Times. А меня зовут Сабрина. Я очень хочу кондитерскую. Я сейчас куплю. Но тоже интересно ваше мнение, если не против.
Saying I'm a journalist from the New York Times and I would like sweets, but also her opinion.
Как сегодня бизнес? Что происходит сегодня?
Сегодня паника. У людей паника очень сильная.
Today there's panic. People are panicking very strongly.
Купили весь хлеб.
You can see that they've bought me out of bread. So I'm doing a bit of panic buying myself. 2 large bags of cookies, 3 candy bars, 10 quiches, and a bunch of almond croissants. Ага, отлично. Спасибо. Asking her if she plans to leave. No, I don't plan to leave. I really don't have a place to leave to. I'm here. I have my home here. I think everything will be okay. А что будет завтра, как вы думаете?
Я думаю, немножко будет поспокойнее. Сейчас люди немножечко вот сегодня самый такой тяжелый день.
Today is the hardest day. I think tomorrow might be easier.
Лейла, Лейла, спасибо огромное.
Okay, back to the hotel. Everything's closed now. It's almost as if it was nighttime. A few cars still going by, but almost no pedestrians. This very central street is just completely deserted. It does feel ominous.
Day one of the war. It's been a very long day. The town I'm in, Slavyansk, kind of continued on as normal. There were bits of panic that could be evident. There were lines at the ATMs and people were stocking up on medications. But overall, the mood was pretty calm and collected, probably because these people had been through this before. The town came under heavy attack in 2014 when Ukrainian forces clashed with Russian-backed rebels who had come in from the east. And so when I'm walking around town, people are telling me that this is just part of their lives. Very few people I met around town today said that they had any intention of leaving, even though rocket attacks hit an airport nearby and Russian forces were fighting with the Ukrainian military just a few dozen kilometers away.
Бабушка с дедушкой дома. Пока бабушка с дедушкой дома, никуда никто не уедет.
Да? Вы остаетесь?
Ну, пока...
I met a woman named Lera Alexeyevna, who was in the courtyard near my hotel.
О, бедный, бедный.
Просто они...
And she had stuffed her pet hairless cat in her jacket, and it was shivering.
А что делать еще? Он животное собрало.
О, бедный.
And, she was telling me how she was planning on going to work at a company that sells cash registers and bringing her animals with her so that they wouldn't have to be alone. So if she had to make a quick dash for it, she could be with her animals. But she said she had no intention of leaving, mostly out of fear that she would be forced to leave behind her pets. Outside a blood bank in Slavyansk, I met a young man named Bogdan Kravchenko, who was just sitting in his car, listening to the Ukrainian national anthem cranked up on high volume. He had just gone and donated blood.
Вам страшно или...
Не, на самом деле, какой-то паники нет, ему просто надо...
And he said he wasn't panicked, but he said that he was acting according to the situation, and that things had only just begun.
Хорошо, спасибо.
Пожалуйста.
Удачи вам.
I walked up to a base of the National Guard unit here in Slavyansk, and out front there were a few couples, men dressed in drab green uniforms and women. All of them were being sent off, the men. They were all being sent off somewhere. Some of them said they couldn't tell me where they were being sent. Some of them admitted that they didn't even know. I met one couple, Yelena and Yevhenia. Yelena had brought Yevhenia, her husband, some clothes that he was going to take with him on his deployment wherever he was headed. Another couple just held each other for what seemed like 15, 20, 30 minutes, just held each other on the street in the sun ahead of whatever deployment this young man was being sent on.
Любов Алексеевна.
Любов Васильевна.
Васильевна. А фамилия какая у вас?
Не надо фамилия.
Не надо фамилия.
Не надо, да.
Хорошо.
And then I met Любов Васильевна, a 75-year-old pensioner. She was carrying a bag filled with newly purchased loaves of bread that she said she'd spent her last bit of cash on and was waiting in line at an ATM. It would appear that there was no cash left.
Я считаю, чтобы не было войны, а был мир. И чтобы не стреляли эти сволочи, понимаете?
All she wanted, she said, was to live in peace in her native Donbass, which is what this eastern region is called.
Я сыну посылала этот стих 2 года тому назад в Донецк.
And then she paused and recited a poem that she said she wrote 2 years ago that was supposed to be evocative of the peace that she was looking for. And I'll read that poem that I translated from the Russian into English. I'm so looking forward to peace, but it is coming to us so слowly. We still have a little patience. Peace is close at hand, and we're waiting for it to arrive. Without gunfire, without blood, enough has been spilled in Donbass. Let the sun smile and the sky brighten, and the children smile. Let it go in a black moment. There will be peace for all, and people will say, God heard us. Let all stormy skies leave us.
Да здравствует родной Донбасс и город Славянск.
And hail Donbass and the city of Slavyansk.
Хороший.
Спасибо.
Бабушка сама пишет.
Да.
Да.
Вы
я пишу, да.
It's 11:30 a.m. on Friday in Kyiv. Last night in the city, there were a lot of airstrikes, and it seems like they're getting closer. Простите, простите.
Вы тоже заходите?
Нет, нет. The airstrikes are beginning again. You can hear the siren. We're trying to decide whether to leave. Our colleagues, a few of them drove out this morning because it's really unclear what's going to happen. Will there be a big fight with the Ukrainian military, or will the Russians just come in? What will happen if they take the city? And it seems like that is imminent. So we're trying to make arrangements. Our hotel doesn't have a generator, which means we would be out of power if the power gets cut off in the city, which is a pretty good chance. Yeah, we're trying to figure it out. I guess, like a lot of people here, we're trying to make that decision. Should we leave? Or should we stay?
As of Friday afternoon in Kyiv, Ukrainian officials were bracing for an attack on the capital city as Russia's military offensive pressed closer to the heart of the government.
Слава Збройним силам України! Хлопці і дівчата!
In a televised address, Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, said that at least 137 Ukrainians, military and civilians, had already been killed. And he called on Ukrainians to defend themselves against Russian forces, saying that nobody else would come to their rescue. Zelensky, who was unshaven and in a t-shirt, said that he himself was now Russia's number one target, followed, he said, by his own family. We'll be right back. Here's what else you need to know today. On Thursday, three former Minneapolis police officers were found guilty of federal crimes for failing to intervene as a fellow officer, Derek Chauvin, killed George Floyd by pressing his knee on Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes. The case is believed to be the first time that the federal government has charged police officers for inaction when a more senior officer was using excessive force. Two of the officers were rookies at the time of Floyd's death, but the jury rejected their defense that they had been trained to obey superior officers like Chauvin and to carry out orders without question. Today's episode was produced by Rob Zipko, Rochelle Bonja, Lindsay Garrison, Rachel Quester, Caitlin Roberts, and Claire Tennis-Getter. It was edited by Lisa Tobin and Lisa Chow. Contains original music by Dan Powell and Marian Lozano, and was engineered by Corey Schreppel. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsberg of Wonderly. The Daily is made by Lisa Tobin, Rachel Quester, Lindsay Garrison, Claire Tennis-Getter, Paige Cowett, Michael Simon Johnson, Brad Fisher, Larissa Anderson, Chris Wood, Jessica Chung, Stella Tan, Alexandra Lee Young, Lisa Chow, Eric Krupke, Mark George, Luke Vanderplug, MJ Davis Lynn, Austin Mitchell, Dan Powell, Dave Shaw, Sydney Harper, Robert Jimison, Michael Benoit, Liz O'Balin, Asta Chaturvedi, Caitlin Roberts, Rochelle Bonja, Diana Nguyen, Marian Lozano, Corey Schreppel, Anita Bonadjo, Rob Zipko, Alishaba Itoop, Chelsea Daniel, Muj Zaidi, Patricia Willens, Rowan Nemisto, Jody Becker, Ricky Novetsky, and John Ketchum. Special thanks to Sam Dolnick, Paula Schumann, Cliff Levy, Lauren Jackson, Julia Simon, Mahima Chablani, Sophia Milan, Des Ibiqua, Erica Futterman, Wendy Dorr, Elizabeth Davis Moore, Jeffrey Miranda, Renan Borelli, Maddie Masiello, and Daniel Friedman. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you on Monday.